You're listening to the Raising Empowered Humans series here on the Chat About Children podcast. Let's chat.
Discover children at a whole new level. Be empowered to grow with the children in your life. Welcome to Chat About Children with Sonia Vestelich.
Thank you for joining me for this very special series, the Raising Empowered Humans series. The intention of this series is to share powerful conversations with heart-led leaders, entrepreneurs, experts, innovators, and imaginators who share their stories, philosophies, practices, and principles when it comes to raising empowered humans. This series aims to inspire and energize parents, carers, and professionals who work with children to leave a legacy of raising children who are of highest service to themselves and to the world. Now, I do welcome you to sign up to my newsletter at soniabestelich.com for transformative tips, tools, and strategies to help you be more empowered in raising empowered humans. Let's get this episode started. A massive welcome to the Chat About Children podcast today. I'm super excited. Today is episode 100 for the podcast. So I am in celebration mode and I am so grateful. It has been an incredible ride, if I can call it that, chatting to so many people around the globe about so many important, impactful, and transformative topics when it comes to our own children or the children who we are working with. So thank you for joining me today on this milestone episode. So what we're diving into today on the Raising Empowered Human series is I'm sharing with you the top three life skills for kids to build a flourishing future. Now, this obviously really aligns with the whole reason, the whole premise for this series, as Raising Empowered Humans goes well beyond academics, classrooms, and therapy rooms. And the number of examples are just countless of people in our current day and those who have come before us who have really embodied the ability to gracefully rise as empowered individuals, of course, through their own individual journeys. So how have I come up with these top three life skills? It's really something that I have put together within my understanding of almost three decades within health and education sectors as a speech pathologist. And then this led me to really deepen and broaden my knowledge of human sciences, where I extended my training into the realms of intuitive life coaching and energy healing. But then beyond my own professional training and expanded knowledge, the real personal development training really happened when I became a mother to three children who were all born in 2.5 years. And they entered the world, though, with what seemed thousands of years of wisdom that had preceded them. And so it's from them, you know, together with all that professional learning and training and working with thousands of children and their families, that really integrated my own learning and my ability to share my knowledge and contribute value as much as I can in my teaching to others. So let's dive in to the top three life skills for kids to build a flourishing future. So I'm going to start off with the big one, number one. Now, this first one is something that was noted within a white paper that was published within the World Economic Forum. It's called A Taxonomy for the Future of Learning, if you're interested and you want to go check it out. But this white paper basically looked at, you know, the future of jobs and the future of the skills and abilities that would be needed. And when I read the paper and researched what those findings were, I was super excited to see that this was one of the top skills and abilities. Okay, so what is it? Number one is creativity. This is one of the top skills and abilities for the future. We need more innovative ideas. We need more diverse ways of thinking. And of course, we need human creativity to continue to grow and advance as a collective. So certainly whilst technology is allowing certain tasks and processes not to be human operated anymore, I mean, this is nothing new. It's always been part of our evolution. So what we're needing now is those creative thinkers, people who can use their imagination. And we all know that kids, that's their jam, that's their gig. They use their imagination. They go beyond any limited beliefs or boxes that, you know, as adults, we tend to kind of place on their beautiful, expansive thinking at times. So thinkers who can look outside the square, can ask lots of questions, can wonder, what if, or can play with, just imagine if, that's where the gold lies in really nurturing our kids as creators. And that is the natural and organic way in which we're built as humans. We are creators. That is our natural organic flow. So although you might think of creativity in a more traditional sense, like drawing or writing or music, yes, absolutely they are. But ultimately, I invite you to consider the superpower when it comes to creativity. And that superpower is play. Now think about this. When you are in play or in playfulness, it means you are fully present. It means you're engaged with your senses. It means you are in an energy of joy. It means you are exploring sometimes uncharted territory to learn what works, what doesn't work, what are the boundaries. And within play, you learn to be persistent, to see mistakes as part of the process, part of the experimentation, a way to further learning. Now, play in itself, I mean, it's a topic that I talk about as a standalone, as a masterclass. So really, for the purposes of this episode, in summary, I want to just plant that seed that play and a playful mindset is something that can easily be incorporated as part of daily life. It naturally has us and kids, of course, in a state of calm and ease. And when children are in a state of calm and ease, it allows that openness to learning. It allows more creativity to flow, and it allows them that space and that feeling of timelessness, of expansiveness. Now, there's obviously different types of play, but again, for the purposes of this episode, I want to just share 5 key elements or characteristics, and these I'm sharing with you from research and findings from the LEGO Foundation. Okay, so what are the 5 characteristics of playful learning that really helps children to flourish when we're looking at planting those seeds for a flourishing future? The first one is joyfulness. You know, as I said before, like being in that energy of joy, it really triggers that feel-good chemical, that dopamine in the brain. And when that kind of sequence, like chemical sequence, is happening in the brain, that's linked to better attention, better memory, more motivation, heightened creativity. So joy and that energy of joyfulness is an important characteristic. The second characteristic is meaningful. So to make something meaningful, it basically means that you're linking a new experience to something that is familiar to the child. So for example, if a child's read a book and it shows, you know, kids at a playground and one of them's going down the slide, then when your child, for example, goes to the playground, they haven't been on a slide before, you can link that new experience to that slide that they saw in their favorite picture book, for example. The third characteristic is actively engaging. So of course, the more involved that a child is in their play, the more ability they have to make decisions and to have agency, you know, over the direction of play, that's really when that deeper learning is happening. That's really when they can be focused and block out some of the distractions that are going on in the world around them, because they are so actively engaged in play and being interested in exploring. And so ensuring that we're not being too authoritarian with play and making children do things a certain way. It's really important to give them that space and that freedom to make decisions about how they do want to, you know, manipulate certain objects in play or how they do want to explore. So it's really about offering that space and that freedom for them to apply direction and imagination in a way that is meaningful and interesting to them. So the fourth is making play iterative. And this is where, you know, practice really makes creative. So as I said before, in play, there's that real element of trial and error, allowing children to adapt and improve and change. That's really having them fire up those networks for memory. And so we really want to allow that to help them nurture and grow their own innovative way of thinking and really have them be quite flexible and adaptable in their thinking. And that's what we want. I mean, life is not stagnant. Life is always changing. It's always asking and demanding adaptability from us. And so the fact that we can be okay with change within that play context is super powerful as a long-standing life skill. And the fifth and final characteristic is being socially interactive. So, of course, playing with others is often a lot more fun and it contributes to kids building healthy relationships. And as we know, I don't have to go into this, as we know, we are social beings. And through play and playfulness, that's really where we get to build those meaningful connections, to learn about others, to learn about ourselves, and to learn about the dynamics of how those relationships can work and serve in the world. And that, of course, is all crucial for optimal wellness, for flourishing, you know, mental, emotional, spiritual health. So they're the five core characteristics when it comes to playful learning. You know, when I think of creativity and play and playfulness, it reminds me of my son who, when he was five, really wanted to play the guitar and he wanted lessons. So we invested in lessons. And what the challenge was that although he was super keen to play the guitar, the patience and the willingness to actually do what the teacher had asked in terms of practice. And I mean, he would do it, but it was like, I don't really want to do this structured, rigid approach. I just want to play. I want to be able to play. I want to make up my own stuff. And so it was really interesting that for him, the challenge was that he really wanted that freedom. And he was finding that, you know, learning the foundations was really, really challenging, because that mindset of, but I've been told to do it a certain way when I just want to be free with this, was a real challenge. I bring that up because as I said before, as humans, we're creators. And so we really do enjoy and feel fulfilled when we are exploring using our imagination. And I mean, the same thing happened with art. When he started art at school, you know, he came home and he said, oh, Mum, like in art class, we had to do artwork in the style of, you know, a particular artist. And he said, but why do I have to do that? Or why can't I just do my own style? And so you can see the pattern with him, right? So he's kind of was quite confused about, you know, why there was kind of this structure and rigidity in his mind being placed upon him when he just wanted to express freely. So it's really important, and I invite you to really look at play as a superpower. It is the superhighway to creativity. It's an avenue and a pathway for kids to develop and express their authenticity. And that's really the differentiating factor when it comes to nurturing their flourishing future. Wondering how your family can flourish without the sacrifice of your health, wealth, and dreams? Empowering a family to flourish is both an art and a science, and I'm super excited to have packaged decades of expertise to create the Flourishing Families program for you. It's time to shift the energy of your family ecosystem with more fun, more freedom, and more fulfillment. Head over to SoniaBeslich.com and sign up now. Okay, so what is the number two life skill when it comes to kids building a flourishing future? So number two is what I call self-response ability. Now notice I'm not saying responsibility, but rather self-response ability. And this is really the premise of our kids understanding, and even as adults understanding, you hold your own magic wand. You hold your own magic wand when it comes to your ability to respond to your thoughts and respond to your feelings. Now, if you haven't already listened to episode 92, I go into the power of thoughts and words. And in episode 96, I go into three ways to help kids nurture emotional harmony. So if you're yet to tune into either one of those, I strongly, strongly recommend that you do, because that really forms the foundation or the basis for this second life skill, self-response ability. Now, of course, it's something that, you know, if we're looking for our children to be embodying this, it starts with us. We really want to be that empowered model. But remember, we're all works in progress. So there is no expectation that you have to, or pressure that you have to put on yourself to be this incredible model and do no wrong. This is actually the opposite. It's more about being open to and vulnerable with and authentic about your own journey and evolution in practicing your own self-response ability. So it really comes from taking responsibility for your thoughts, your feelings, of course, your actions. They are all linked. It's looking at your ability to respond to those people around you, respond to your greater community. And a lot of the time, we can be quite exhausted because we're giving our energy and our personal power away by reacting, complaining, or feeling that things are happening to us rather than happening for us. And so these kinds of concepts and principles really need to start from that adult model. I don't want you to feel like you have to have all these expectations of your children. It's more about knowing that they will pick up very quickly. They will start reflecting back how you are going implementing your own response ability. Some key tips when it comes to this is to, number one, be honest with yourself and with others. Be open to growth. So no self-beratement or unrealistic expectations of self, but be open to and be willing to grow and evolve. And also know that you are an active contributor in your life. Now, when we are responding to certain things in, I'll say, our outer world, there's really three points of clarity we can use. And we can ask, is this something I can control? Is it something I can influence? Is it something I have to accept? So to nurture our children with this life skill of strong and active self-response ability, it begins with you practicing that regulated response energetic state rather than kind of that fraught reactive state. And, you know, if you're listening and you're reflecting on yourself and thinking, gosh, you know, more often than not, I am kind of rushing around or feeling anxious or feeling fraught or fragmented and feeling reactive. If you feel like that is your experience a lot of the time, then that's a signal of awareness. And it's an opportunity for you to be curious and to dive into that and say, okay, where do I need to be more loving toward myself? And again, I encourage you to please listen to episode 92 to really dive into the power of your thoughts and words, and episode 96 to really dive into how to help nurture emotional harmony. Okay, so the third and final life skill to help kids build a flourishing future is that of conscious compassion. Now, it's important that you understand that kids start to understand the difference between empathy, sympathy, and compassion, and really becoming more aware of what it looks and feels like to be the receiver of empathy, sympathy, and compassion, and what it looks and feels like to be the giver of empathy, sympathy, and compassion. Now, both words, sympathy and empathy, have that ending, like pathy, which comes from pathology, because there is that pain or that suffering implied. But sympathy, just to dive into the differences, obviously sympathy is feeling sorry for someone. It's expressing an energy of pity for another person's pain or suffering. So there's a surface level understanding of what someone is going through. And it's what I call more a head level understanding. So it's really at head level. Now, at times, sympathy can actually feel disempowering as an experience because it can reinforce one feeling really sorry for themselves and feeling helpless and hopeless and following a path of, you know, victimization. And this, of course, essentially has one feeling disempowered. And so when in that energetic state and vibration, that is really that feeling of separation. Like, this is all happening to me. I am separate to others in the world. So I'm not saying sympathy doesn't have its place, but I wanted to share kind of how that can follow a certain sequence that is not always empowering. Now, in terms of empathy, on the other hand, this literally means in feeling or emotional insight. So this is, you know, viscerally feeling the pain and suffering of another. And so it's more of a deeper heart level connection. It can hold more of an empowerment vibration and connection. And of course, as we know, the natural human tendency is that of empathy. I mean, that's why humans are here today. And I'd love to share an excerpt from my book, Flourish for Mums, where I talk about 21 ways to thrive with self-care and acceptance. But I do share in the book 5 universal languages. And one of those languages is empathy. So I'm just going to read this to you. Driving my 4-year-old daughter to preschool brought with it many interesting conversations. One morning, she was describing one of her visually impaired friends in her preschool class. Her brain was busily processing what this meant for her friend, and she shared her flood of many thoughts. "He still has eyes, Mum, but he can't see. We're learning Braille, just like him. And that's like reading for people who can't see. And there's a teacher helping him all the time so he can join in all the activities." And then she paused for a moment of realization as she added, "But he doesn't need a teacher to help him at sleep time because his eyes are resting." And I could feel her kind of concluding these thought flows, and I was quite curious as to what she was going to say next. And then she said in her matter-of-fact tone, "He is different. That doesn't matter. He is still human." Now just take a moment to pause right there. This is a 4-year-old's reflections. Empathy and non-judgment dominating her views and observations of the people around her in her world. So I really invite you to pause again. And I'd love for you to reflect on this beautiful quote by Mother Teresa, which says, "If you judge people, you have no time to love them." So that is a beautiful, powerful story on empathy. Now, conscious compassion, this is the ability to feel the experience of another with that complete and full presence, with a willingness to contribute to relieving kind of the pain and suffering of a fellow person. And this is obviously, this is what creates a community of nurture, of vitality, and of service to one another. And I love this story that I heard of a little boy who noted that his elderly neighbor, Mr. Robertson, was sitting on his porch and he looked quite sad. And that was because he was grieving the loss, the recent loss of his wife. And this little boy, really feeling this pain, asked his mum, you know, "Can I head across the road and visit Mr. Robertson?" And she gave the okay and off he went. And when he returned a little bit later, his mum asked, "So what did you talk about with Mr. Robertson?" To which the little boy responded, "I didn't talk about anything with him. I sat and I cried with him." The first time I heard this story, I literally had tears in my own eyes. I mean, Exercising compassion for another is a fundamental pathway to build one another up, to acknowledge the connectedness and the commonness between all of us. And it really facilitates a space of healing, of respect and non-judgment. You know, really honoring someone's experience with unconditional love. And so conscious compassion is, again, you know, something to be modeled and something to be felt by children without, you know, this pressure or urgency to have to be the rescuer, but really just being readiness to be present and to integrate, you know, that connectedness with a fellow person. So when we bring together the ingredients, these three core life skills, creativity, and within that, play and playfulness, self-response ability, and within that, the power of our thoughts and the ability to harmonize our emotions, and conscious compassion, when we bring all of that together, it contributes to the foundation of raising empowered humans and ultimately the creation of a flourishing tomorrow that starts today with one small thought, one small feeling, one small action at a time that's grounded in unwavering faith and high regard for self and others, with full acceptance for where one is at on their journey. And on that beautiful note, I want to thank you again for being part of this special 100th episode and being part of this first season of this series, the Raising Empowered Human series, here on the Chat About Children podcast.
Thanks for joining the Chat About Children with Sonia Vestelich. www.chataboutchildren.com.